Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Mr. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, pushing all of the right buttons, we hope, and I'm sure he will, over the next hour to make this a very smooth radio program on Friday, November the 14th, 2014. Hope you had a good week. Looking forward to a good weekend. We are live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, but you don't have to be in front of a radio. If you're around a computer, we've got it live streaming at buckmastershow.com, kvoi.com, so a couple of places to get the show, and then we, of course, podcast it for anywhere in the world listening at your leisure at buckmastershow.com. Friday, we like to do a media shout-out to all of our friends who support the program, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, TucsonLifestyle.com. And today's Friday Focus interview, he is with me in studio, Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is a professor of economics at the University of Arizona. He is also a longtime board member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Mari Herreras is here to question Dr. Stegeman with me. And she is a staff writer with the Tucson Weekly. You can call us if you have any questions for Dr. Stegeman. We had a couple of questions coming in on Facebook. Mari had some, I had some, and hopefully everybody can get their questions answered. We'll ask Dr. Stegeman to keep his answers.
I'll try to be concise.
To be as concise and brief as possible. The call-in number is 790-2040, and of course, we're looking for friends. We'd love to have you on board on the Buckmaster Facebook page, so it's easy to find. My name, Bill Buckmaster. Okay, ladies first, welcome, Mari. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And good to see you, Mark, Dr. Stegeman.
Thank you. I appreciate that you believe that professors can be concise, at least potentially.
We are. That will be our lofty goal for the next 25 minutes, and okay. I'm going to be concise with this question, basically setting it up by saying post-election, nothing changes on the board, and nothing changes in a troubled school district with financial difficulties, on and on and on. Would you agree to that?
I'd agree that there are a lot of troubles now in central administration and with the budget. There are also a lot of great things going on in individual schools, and we always want to talk about that at the same time we're talking about troubles. But yes, there are troubles. The budget's a big part of it. And yes, nothing changed. And more than a third of the voters in a TUSD election, of those who voted, voted against both the incumbents. And those people must be very unhappy. And I think very few people voted for both of the incumbents, I'm guessing. And so hardly anybody is happy.
Classroom spending has dropped a couple of percent now down to what?
47.4%.
That's the one of the lowest in Arizona, probably.
Among large districts.
Among the large districts. Yes. So and what percentage of employees are teachers?
Last spring was the last count I know, and it was 31%. And it seems strange to me in a school district that only 31% of your employees are regular teachers.
Why is that? I mean, I don't know what other school districts percentage-wise, but that just seems low.
There's a lot. There's substitutes. There's a tremendous amount of support personnel. There's a large number of administrators. It's a pretty interesting question, Bill. But I think we are top-heavy.
Mari Herreras.
So, as you know, over the weekend, we heard about what took place at the NAEM conference here that was held here. It's a national conference, but it was held here in Tucson. And Pueblo High School principal Augie Romero is under fire right now for shouting, getting into a shouting match with former Mexican-American Studies Director Sean Arce. And some people are saying, look, this is calls for some people that you and I may not agree with right now for different reasons are saying that this enact, you should be fired for what took place, the conduct. What do you think about that whole thing?
I think I'll reserve judgment. I've seen a lot about that video. I actually haven't watched the video itself. I think I kind of know what's in it. But I try not to comment about personnel matters. as much as I can. And
what about the behavior, though? Should there be some discipline? I mean, you admitted you haven't seen if it shows what you think it's going to show about the shouting match, would at least some disciplinary behavior perhaps be in line?
I think it could certainly be entertained, but I don't usually get into matters of who needs to be disciplined. That is really going beyond what board members should be talking about. But I certainly think that some of what he is supposed to have said was inappropriate in a couple different ways. And one thing I heard that he said is that we have Mexican-American studies back. And as far as I know, what is going on in the culturally relevant courses is not equal to what was going on in Mexican-American mm-hmm. studies courses. There are parts of it in there, but I don't think it is the same. And I think the superintendent would say the same, and I think most of the teachers would say the same. I think just as a question of fact, for better or worse, some people wish it was the same and some don't, but as a question of fact, it's not the same. And so that was just inaccurate if you said that.
Right, right.
Well, one thing that Diane Douglas, the new superintendent of public instruction, will have power over, and a lot of people have pointed out, she does not really have power alone to get rid of Common Core, but she would have the power to oversee these ethnic study programs, and she can make a decision on whether or not they're going to continue. That is in her portfolio. Now, the other, Common Core, as you know, Dr. Stegeman, she's a member. Is it a 10-member board of education that decides
something
these 10
like
or 11?
That. Mm-hmm.
So she's one vote there. Mm-hmm. But the other where, of Mexican-American studies or culturally relevant courses, she can make decisions.
Yes, just as Tom Horn and John Hoopenthal got into that, she could, if she wanted, wade into that. Now, we are required, this was not true originally, but now we are required by the court to teach the culturally relevant courses. They could still raise a question of the content because the court order doesn't say exactly what's in them. And so I suppose that they could come and say, we're not contesting that you should be teaching it, but we disagree with what's in it. But I hope that we can just stay out of getting into that mess again. That was very destructive to the district. No matter what side of that you were on, I think we could all agree it was very mm-hmm. destructive. And I hope that one way or another we don't get pulled back into that.
One of the things that I think has been, and pardon me if I don't word this the way you would agree with, but you haven't necessarily been H.T. Sanchez's biggest fan as of late, especially regarding budget and issues like that.
No, that's true.
A top-heavy administration that I know you've discussed. So, and also, yeah, you're no longer, it's still the same. The board, the structure of the board remains the same. But in that case, what happens next? I mean, you can't put necessarily a plan in action to get rid of Sanchez or to do
that. Well, I have not advocated that. I voted against his appointment originally because I had reservations. Then earlier this year, I really felt things were going well. Since then, my opinion has gone down on various matters. The budget's one, our deficit spending, and there have been various ethics and process issues. But I think in the wake of the election, I'm going to stand back and let the majority, and I think it sees itself as a majority, figure out what to do. I don't want to come in right after the election and start throwing bombs. Now, I have to tell the truth about things, and I'll continue to do that, but I think it's the ball's in their court.
That TUSD audit did find, and Dr. Sanchez has admitted this, he said it has found brutal shortcomings in what's going on at TUSD.
Yes.
Where are we with that? Are we having implementation of some of those audit action items?
Very little. There were a couple of different audits, but
generally,
let's say the efficiency audit. Movement. The efficiency auditor made over 60 recommendations, mm-hmm. and very little action has been taken on them. And I think not enough. I just to take one. I mean, there are many, many reform of the board office that hasn't happened. Doing something about all the expensive empty portables we maintain, that hasn't happened. There's a whole lot of stuff we haven't addressed, and very little that we have addressed. Now, one important thing is that this administration is doing what the Petticoat administration also supported, which is spending a lot of money and effort on implementing a new ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning software system. And if they can get that successfully implemented by July 1, which is the target, that will help us in many, many ways, because we have very old and cumbersome administrative processes. And everyone agrees on that. And I think everyone supports that project. And that will help a lot. And that in itself would help us to implement some of those other recommendations. But generally, no, I don't think we've done enough to implement that stuff. One thing that the efficiency auditor said, that many have said before, is to get an internal auditor who reports directly to the board. And in the election, more than half the candidates supported that. But the board majority has not. And so it's an interesting question whether there'll be any movement on that.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. It's 12:15. This would be a good place, Tom, to take our first break of the Buckmaster Show. This is the opportunity for folks to listen to the people who believe in the work we do here every day at noon on the Buckmaster Show, and I ask that you please give them your support. People like Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works, people ask me all the time, do you know a good auto mechanic? And I say, yes, I do. Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. I went over. Mike said, come over, look at the shop. I couldn't believe it. You could eat off the floor. It was so clean. And they love to work on the foreign and the domestic cars. Again, perfectionautoworks.com, and that will get you to the right place. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books.
David Slutz, entertainment director for the Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen.
Janos Wilder, chef and owner of Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist.
Wow, what a lineup. You can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
It's the Specialist's biggest sale ever. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, everything in our stores is priced up to 70% off. Want some JL subs? We've got them. And we'll even give you the second one free. Need a new amp? How about a Rockford Fosgate for $89? Everything at our lowest prices of the year for 3 days only, November 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Specialist's biggest sale ever. Speedway, Broadway, and Wetmore at the Auto Mall.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. If you're out shopping this weekend, the Rug Gallery Tucson has extraordinary savings. It's their anniversary sale throughout November. And if you haven't been to the Rug Gallery, folks, this place is unbelievable. High quality stuff up at Campbell and River. It's the Rug Gallery. And it's Dr. Mark Stegeman with us, TUSD board member. I said long time in my original intro, and of course that could... How many years has it been you've been on the board of TUSD?
Six, Bill, but feels like 60.
And Mari Herreras is here, and Mari's up to the plate first with our first question of the second segment.
You talked about the audit and not the internal auditor request, but this report that came out asking these 60 points of change. And I just can't help every time things like this come up, you know, between this and then the DSEC plan, which I said earlier, people are like, oh, you're talking about the DSEC plan again. But it just...
Well, it's important. It's good to talk about it.
It is important. It's a court order. It's a federal court order.
Yep.
But beyond that, it's... I wonder with all this, what is it about TUSD? Why can't the district just move forward? What continues to keep the district from making internal systemic change?
Fundamental question that many people ask.
Well, I have a little bit of a glib answer, and then I'll have a serious couple of examples maybe. I have an acronym in my mind for TUSD's problems. PIT. P-I-T. Personalities, inertia, and turf. And so much of the dysfunction in TUSD is obsession about personalities and who's up and who's down and who's for stuff and who's not for stuff. Inertia, and I'll give you a great example of that, and turf. People worried about people coming onto their area, taking away their ball, taking away their authority. And these are typical problems in bureaucracies, but very acute in TUSD. Especially considering TUSD isn't really a huge organization. People think of it as huge, but Clark County District in Las Vegas is 6-7 times as big. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they have the same level of administrator dysfunction that we do. So we're big, but we're not that big. We are not unmanageable. So here's an example. In our IT department, information technology department, the last time I looked, we have something like 120 employees in central administration. Most other school districts in this county have 20 to 30, the larger ones. Mm-hmm. Sowarita, I think, has fewer than 10. And I'm not picking on the IT department or any particular person IT department, but it should not be necessary to have 120 people running an IT department. And the problem is that change is painful, and it is easy to talk about cutting costs. It's easy to talk about all these things. And this is what I've seen on the board. There's lots of talk. But to actually do that is painful. It's going to cause pain. It means you bring in someone who's an expert in the area and say, how do we reorganize this department? It means people, maybe including good people, are going to lose their jobs because there's just too many people. And painful change will happen. And I think there's a reluctance to impose pain.
Now,
that's part of it. That's part of the inertia.
Well, I know you mentioned you're not going to be throwing any bombs, as you said. Well, to quote you, when you get the board, I know several board members are listening at this very moment, and they are listening very carefully to what you say. And I'm going to ask you: are we going to see a new attitude when the next board meeting from Dr. Mark Stegeman?
Well, I think that most people who watch the board meetings appreciate what I hear is a lot of appreciation for the fact that I ask questions. I think there's complaints about the dysfunction on the board, and there is a degree of dysfunction on the board. But the first thing I say is you should actually watch board meetings, on tape or come, and you'd get a different picture from what the story that's often told. So I'm not sure that I'm going to ask fewer questions. I'm not sure I'm going to change the way I vote because I try to vote sincerely. But I think that compared to the pre-election environment, I am going to try to step back a little bit and see what the majority can do. I think right after an election, Adelita was reelected, and the ball's in her court, and she needs to have a chance to...
Dan is up next on the Buckmaster Show live line with a question for Dr. Mark Stegeman. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. My wife and I are very confused about this desegregation thing. Apparently, we're spending millions of dollars, and my grandchildren, I got five in TUSD, and they all, when I talk to them, they say that about 80% of their classes are Mexican-American. Now what do we mean by desegregation? I mean, these schools are already Mexican-American. What are we supposed to do? What is this court?
Okay. So Dan's saying they're already schools are majority. Already
well,
majority segregated.
We have between 60 and 65% of our students are classified as Hispanic, and so that's very different from when the DSEG case was fought out over 30 years ago. And I think, Mari might disagree, but I think at this point the desegregation case is somewhat anachronistic. It was a fairly mild case, the one for TUSD, compared to many of the big cities around the country. The remedies were mild, and it's ironic that now, after most of those have been closed, we're still here with really onerous remedies. So I think it is somewhat anachronistic. That said, we are under a court order, and if the federal court says jump, you jump, and we have to comply with the court order. So that's why we're here, because the court says we have to be here. And one of the reasons the court has said that, and one of the reasons that the Ninth Circuit kicked it back to the district court and says you can't let these guys go, is that TUSD had a long-running poor record on desegregation.
That was many, many years ago.
Things were never remedied. It went for many, many years. Well, of course, I don't think we had. I think whatever over desegregation existed ended a long time ago. But the fact is, we had a whole lot of money, and we spent it, and we did not monitor the results. We did not show that we were improving outcomes for the protected classes, the African-American, Mexican-Americans. And we didn't, and this is many, many boards and many, many administrations, the TUSD was not very responsible.
Dan,
and that's one reason that we're still here.
Dan is still on the line.
Sorry.
Dan, did you have something else to add, Dan?
Well, I don't think he's explained what we're trying to do, and don't we have any leadership there that we can speak up? I mean, we're not a bunch of donkeys that have to listen to a court and not even have a word to put in.
I agree with that. I think what and Mari might want to chip in here, I think that what the plaintiffs and the special master are concerned a lot about is equal access in various ways and equal treatment. So the question is, do Hispanic and African American students have access to the same quality of educational opportunities that Anglo students do?
Well, and if you were to talk to the African-American plaintiffs, for instance, they would continue to say, look, we are still having high disciplinary rates that have not been addressed, that continue to not be addressed.
Right.
There's great programming out there, for sure, but that is still an issue. And
it is partly the academic access, and a big part of it is complaints about whether discipline is applied fairly. And I'm not as convinced that we have a problem with unfair application, but Is there some degree of problem? Have there been problems historically? I think that there have.
Access to special education programming is another issue that comes up all the time as well.
That's right. So it's mostly, I think you could say it's most, well, okay, there's three parts, really. There's equitable access to educational opportunities. There is the equitable application of discipline part. And I think that the court and the special master have an explicit interest in integration in the old meaning, that they want to see Anglo students and Hispanics and African Americans mixed up at schools to the extent that you can do so. Now, you can't do it very completely in this districts because different people live in different places. But the special master, to whom the court listens a lot, has a lot of emphasis on doing what we can do to get better racial mixing in the schools.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. The half hour went very fast. Dr. Stegeman, thank you very much. You were very, I believe, very concise.
kind of you to say so.
So we were able to cover a little more ground, which is always good. And so we will see you down the road, Dr. Stegeman. Thank you very much. And
thank
Mari,
you, Bill.
I ask that you stick around, and we'll be on our Friday roundtable.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back. Dylan Smith is waiting in the wings.
Patient.
Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, the Buckmaster
the
Show, on Friday. We'll be right back.
Key votes needed to win approval there. Many of the 7 million consumers who got insurance under the new health care law will see premiums go up next year unless they're willing to switch to another plan. President Obama expected to announce a $3 billion contribution to a UN fund. This aimed at helping poor countries prepare for climate change.
Rick told me to take our car to Perfection Auto Works. He told me about their 26-point inspection, but oh, fiddly-dee. I went to Ashley Automotive, and they still haven't got it fixed. Oh, what will I tell him? As God is my witness, I will never take my car anywhere but Perfection Auto Works again. If I have to lie, cheat, or steal, I'll never settle for lousy auto repair again. Oh no, Rhett's home.
So you saw Ashley, didn't you?
Rhett, we can get it fixed, right? There's always tomorrow.
It's too late for that, Scarlett.
Oh, Rhett, what will I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
At Perfection Auto Works, we never compromise when it comes to car or truck repairs. Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650. That's Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
It's the specialist's biggest sale ever. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, everything in our stores is priced up to 70% off. Want some JL subs? We've got them. And we'll even give you the second one free. Need a new amp? How about a Rockford Fosgate for $89? Everything at our lowest prices of the year for 3 days only, November 13th, 14th, and 15th at the specialist's biggest sale ever. Speedway, Broadway, and Wetmore at the Auto Mall.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We always start with our newsmaker interview. Today it was Dr. Mark Stegeman. And then at the bottom of the hour, halfway through the show, we do our Friday roundtable, and we bring in a local journalist to talk about the big stories of the week. And of course, the big story of the week, because it really is of a historic nature. The first time ever really an official congressional recount will be happening in CD2. And Dylan Smith joins us now. Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher of Tucson Sentinel.
And chief bottle washer.
And yes, he's been known to actually take out the garbage, too.
An in-depth investigation would reveal some complaints in that regarding my performance on that.
And Mari is here, too. Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. But before we talk about CD2, just to kind of follow up a little bit with our interview with Dr. Stegeman about whether much will change on the board. Will there be a new attitude from Mark? Probably not. No.
Well, I mean, you've got the exact same board. It's going to be the same people with the same attitudes and beliefs about where the district should be heading. And, In any governmental body, there's always going to be some tension. I mean, it would be problematic to have five people on a board like that completely agreed with everything.
It would give us a lot less to talk about.
Well, I mean, it would be terribly boring. But isn't good governance for everyone to say, oh, yes, this is a great idea, and to never ask a question. You know, there have been conflicts and some personality clashes. That happens in any elected agency
There have been times, though, when those clashes have, I think, definitely gotten in the way of them doing their work figure stuff out, and also represent the community well and maybe get fires put out. You know, I don't think that's always gone so well.
Well, it's the same kind of thing you see in a national level in Congress, where if the Democrats propose something, the Republicans have to hate it, even if they would actually think it was a good idea on paper, if you didn't tell them who sponsored it. We kind of see that a little bit in TUSD with the, should the auditor report to the board or report to the administration thing.
How much does partisan politics play in this? Because I know that was a discussion on my Facebook page with folks. And so it's like, How does that play into this as well?
Well, it certainly, I think, deepened a little bit of the divisions, whereas, TUSD governing board is nominally, at least, a nonpartisan elected position. You don't run as a party, but everybody knows which political party people belong to. And Stegman's support of a Republican candidate, in essence, really made a lot of Democrats mad. And he was basically run out of the Democratic Party. He was a precinct committeeman and someone who had basically run as a Democrat when he was elected.
Which is so silly because I think previously he's gotten lots of support within the Republican Party. He's spoken at the luncheon, and I saw him during his last election. I saw him enjoying some tasty food at the Republican shindig. So I don't think that constituency has always supported him, especially of late.
790-2040. Folks are always welcome to weigh in on our Friday roundtable. Now on to the recount. Rarely these things, modern day recounts, change much, do they, Dylan?
Well, I think if you talk to the Democrats, they're going to point to what turned out to be a very long recount in Minnesota a few years ago. We ended up with Al Franken being elected senator after a couple of recounts, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
But here in Arizona, we haven't had a recount change a race. There was a pretty close race with a proposition a few years ago that was going to change the timing of the citizens' ability to file initiative petitions to make that more difficult. And that got shot down by the voters. There was a recount in that race that moved the needle about 120 votes or something like that. That was a statewide race. So you're talking many, many, many more ballots than are involved in the CD2 election.
When the margin here is 161.
161
votes.
There is votes.
One missing ballot out there.
I'm working feverishly to track down the fate of ballot 213.
Yeah, I know you've been all over that, Dylan, trying to find.
Well, it's important, you know. Yeah. We've got one ballot missing. We need to find that thing.
But it does really, doesn't it, point out, Mari, how important people say, well, my vote doesn't count. Well, it does.
This one showed that, no doubt.
And the Arizona Republic today in their editorial said they say it's a given that McSally is going to win, and they say she's going to have to stick to the center because of,
her constituency.
Constituency.
That she now inherits.
Right. 50-50.
Well, I think
that the case? I mean, that might be what the editorial board of the Arizona Republic thinks, but does she have to stick to the center?
I don't know.
I mean,
well, I don't know if
you earn a lot more campaign contributions by veering one way or another. And, certainly everyone who gets elected to Congress immediately starts running again. She sent out a fundraising email on the Wednesday morning after the election.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do. You get elected every 2 years. If you hope you get reelected every 2 years, but you're running all of the time.
Separate from the politics, though, that district has always had such a high reputation for excellent constituent services.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Barbara continued, obviously, that tradition.
He
with
did.
Many of the
Colby,
same staff.
Colby had that reputation.
Yeah.
Colby and certainly the folks who worked for Gabby Giffords were, the workers in the office were astounding at doing that, all politics is local sort of thing,
right.
Helping people
right.
navigate Social Security and their
so
veterans'
I hope,
benefits
you'd
and
hope
all of that.
So that the politics would kind of veer away from that and they would at least continue to have that great tradition of still offering that district.
Well, I think in that district especially, you cannot get reelected if you don't actually help people out in that way. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what sort of votes you are taking when it comes time for a roll call in Congress, if somebody comes to you with, they can't get their, Social Security disability petition through, and they need that extra nudge from a call from somebody in the congressional office to get a bureaucrat to take a look at this thing because it's been a year and a half. If you don't do that, you have serious problems when it comes time for the votes to be counted again.
And all of the votes are in, and in District 9, which had been very closely watched, Republican Ethan Orr, his first term will be, at least this time around, his last term. Ethan Orr did not have enough votes to win it. Dr. Randy Fries, Democrat, he's going to be a newcomer. And then Victoria Steele, the other Democrat incumbent, will be going back to the legislature. Now, What about this Representative Orr bringing up a couple of weeks before the election? He was quoted as saying he would push for marijuana legislation and legalization. Could that have cost him the election, Dylan Smith?
Well, first off, this is a district that leans slightly Democratic, so he was facing an uphill battle to be reelected in the first place. It's never a good idea as a candidate to come forth with any sort of policy proposal in the last couple of weeks before an election, because then people have to think about you again. You know, the best political plan is just to, you know,
Diane Douglas model, under the radar.
Do what Jesse Kelly did and just repeat your three main points over and over and over again.
That's true.
Of course, Jesse Kelly never really came up with any sort of policy proposals to begin with, but he was solid on repeating his talking points over and over, and really any decent political candidate is going to do that the last couple of weeks. To make people think about anything is to make them reconsider you.
But
so whether it was a good idea or a bad idea as policy or a good idea politically, his point was to leave the legislature in control of marijuana laws by having them pass a law rather than there be a citizens initiative in a couple of years
right.
that the legislature has a much tougher time of modifying.
I don't think that also the Democrats that should feel comfortable. I mean, I think that Orr actually is someone that I know many people liked. He was well-liked. He just
very well
possibly,
liked.
Like we were talking about, mm-hmm. the campaign just wasn't run so well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that folks thought that other people were doing such a great job necessarily.
Well, and there was a whole lot of effort on both sides poured into that race. Democrats really, really focused on trying to oust Ethan Orr from the legislature and kind of took their eye on off of the ball in a couple of other races where they ran into some trouble that you wouldn't have thought they would have.
Right.
And the Republicans, the moderate wing of the Republicans, put a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of money into trying to get him reelected.
Yeah.
I wonder, one thing we haven't mentioned is the Frank Antonori factor. Did the Tea Party folks calling for people to Republicans to not vote for Ethan Orr play into this at all?
I wonder.
Were there enough people who were affected by that to make that margin?
Frank, if you're listening, I know Frank listens to the show, 790-2040. Perhaps he could give us a call and quickly weigh in on that. But that is a very interesting point because they were really running against not only
Leave
Ethan
the
Orr,
bubble
but,
blank.
Well, yeah, if he calls, we can ask him why he wasn't at Martha McSally's party. Along with other Tea Party folk. Many absent from the party there.
Well, was there kind of a Tea Party disconnect from the McSally campaign? We kind of heard that rumor.
Yeah, I think so. I think it started last campaign.
There were a whole lot of Tea Party folks who right away were calling her a rhino, a Republican in name only, and not supporting her, and thus making it a little bit more difficult for the Democrats to put any sort of foundation to their repeatedly calling her a Tea Party candidate. If all the Tea Party folks here locally were shying away from her, you know, that didn't have the same sort of resonance as it would have if her, you know, campaign events had been filled with people with Tea Party signs.
Interesting meeting going to happen. I think it's Tuesday up at the Arizona State, not, yes, yeah, the Office of Public Education. Diane Douglas will meet and greet the new employees there at the office, thousands of them who work as employees of the Department of Education. And I'm sure a lot of them are very worried about their jobs.
I wonder how many of them have college degrees.
I don't know how many of them are that worried. I mean,
she's not so big on degrees.
Gosh, you're so terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, it is... It is interesting to think that, you know, that was her big thing, Common Core. But again, she cannot just decree at the, you know, moments after she's sworn in, we will no longer have Common Core.
Yeah. Well, we have a State Board of Education that has the most say in what the curriculum is in Arizona, in addition to all of the local governing boards for school districts, and the legislature with a little bit of ability to weigh in. But she's just one vote on the State Board of Education. And as far as curriculum goes, that's really about how far her ability to affect things is. And Common Core, it should be said, really is not a curriculum even. It's a set of standards to measure what kids are learning. And the curriculum to get to that point, to say, yes, this student is proficient and knows, you know, how to do this sort of arithmetic in the fourth grade, how you actually get to that point of them knowing that is a different matter that is really not part of Common Core per se.
Right. Now, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, you'd mentioned, Bill, that so earlier, then what she can do then come in and possibly affect Mexican-American studies
In that area,
into USD.
Ethnic studies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that very well may be true. It might be, this will be one of those times, we talked with Stegeman earlier, this majority board that now exists that has said it supports Mexican-American studies. This will be one of those moments where if she does try and do that, they will have to say, no, we do have this, you know, they did have a federal court order before too. No, we have this standing and we're going to stand by it. We'll see what happens.
All right. I've only got about 40 seconds left. 1 minute. Thank you, Mr. Tom, and the question I bring to you, both of you esteemed reporters, who do the Democrats have now as the leader of really the party? Who's on the bench now, and who are somebody that we could point to for governor?
That's an open question.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a whole lot of jockeying going on.
Can I put a request in right now?
Let's
not for a person, but could the Democratic Party stop doing what it usually does and actually just allow two candidates to run?
And have a primary where the issues are discussed.
Have a real primary. Treat us like real voters. Like, respect us.
Well,
you know?
I think it does help to have the primary. I think it would have helped Fred Duvall to get the name out there.
There was nothing to report because there was no race going on.
And no one knows him.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. That's the Friday Roundtable. Dylan and Mari, I hope both of you have a great weekend.
You too.
You too, and everybody else out there.
All right. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Your kids are grown. The days of ballet recitals and soccer games are over. You're looking forward to the next season of life. It's your time. This is David Clark at Plutus Motor Group, and we have what you're looking for. Late model, low-mileage vehicles from Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, BMW, and exotics like Maserati and other fine imports. Visit our indoor showroom and enjoy the Plutus experience at Dodge and Aho, adjacent to Copenhagen, or online at PlutusMotorGroup.com. Plutus Motor Group. It's your time. 529-1000.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Huh.
Gary!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
That music signals the weekend is officially here on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and its vibrant arts community. Downtown hosts a variety of galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. You can find out more about the great things to do and places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Bill, I am great, and I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I am so ready for this weekend, my friend.
I am too. You really hit the nail on the head, more so than even usual. I'm ready here to do it, and a lot of people like to start their weekend, Matt Russell, as you know, and I think this would include you, with a nice happy hour.
Yeah, you know, fans of sushi have kind of gotten a short shrift on Weekend Watch recently, and as a raw fish enthusiast myself, I thought we'd send folks over to Raw Sushi and La Encantada for happy hour today. Now, Raw always has a happening happy hour, and their patio is going to be all the buzz with so many delicious specials like select sushi rolls and other appetizers from only $3.29. Now, when I go to Raw, I like to start with their powerfully exotic cocktail called the Samurai Cowboy, made with black cherry bourbon. Happy hour at Raw starts today at 4, which is only 3 short hours away, but who's counting, Bill?
Wow, after one of those cocktails, it's pretty hard to decide what to order there at Raw Sushi. It's a football weekend. University of Washington, the Huskies are in town. How about Zen Burger? They want to get in the spirit.
Yeah, our friends over at Zen Burger Wine and Burger Bar, as you said, they're getting in the bear down spirit for tomorrow's Wildcat football game with their Burger of the Week, which they call the MVB. Now, this most valuable burger starts with American Kobe beef with generous additions of avocado and bacon and American cheese, which all work together to suit this burger up for victory. Now, before heading over to Arizona Stadium tomorrow, swing by either location of Zen Burger for lunch, and let the MVB be a part of your celebration. Oh, and please, Bill, don't forget the double truffle fries. You'll thank me.
Any local food fests underway this weekend?
Yeah, Viva La Local, the biannual food festival, is Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Rialto Park Racetrack. More than 25 restaurants are going to be serving up creative dishes, along with local wines and local beers, and, of course, live local entertainment. Now, each food and drink sample is only $5, which makes it super easy to budget. So do what I do. Bring a healthy stack of Lincolns to the Rialto Park on Sunday for Viva La Local and enjoy another delicious day here in southern Arizona.
What can we look for in the column this week?
Yeah, you know, Bill, with all the new breweries opening here in Tucson, I sat down with one of Tucson's newest brewers to find out when he thinks we'll officially hit the saturation point when supply outpaces demand. And his answer may surprise you. So check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Good question. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying our bottled water. A nice chilled bottle of Culligan. All of the in-studio guests, the host, all of the folks here at KVOI, we all enjoy it. And Culligan, the place for all your residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, all of our fine folks here at KVOI, especially Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, Rosemary Brandt, my executive assistant, and all of the folks that help make this program possible, we are wishing you a wonderful and a very safe weekend and reminding you that all the local talk, the expert talk, begins tomorrow morning. Phil Cedar has the Garden Show, and Tom Fairbanks will be on the other side of the glass taking your calls for that as well. On behalf of Tom, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.